Okay, welcome everyone. We're heading. We're going to open up the meeting for the Beautification Environmental Advisory Committee. October 26th, the time is 6:05 p.m. The reason I'm opening up this meeting is because we only have three members in attendance. Chair and Vice Chair, neither of them are present here. So this time I'm going to ask the three of you members that are here to take a quick vote, nominate someone back and forth to decide who would like to be or who is nominated as the acting chairman for this meeting. And then once that's been established, that person will take over the meeting. So at this point, I'm going to turn it over to you three, and you can take a few moments to have that nomination and voting process.
Do we nominate?
Yes.
I'd like to nominate for the chair of the meeting.
Oh.
I'd like to.
Is it seconded?
Sorry, I tried to hear.
Okay, just hold on for a second. So Mr. Silver is the acting chair for the meeting, correct? Mm-hmm. So Mr. Silver, you're going to follow the outline in front of you with the yellow highlights. The first thing you're going to do is you're going to call the meeting, well, it's called to order. You're going to ask us to do the pledge, and then we'll do roll call.
Okay. All right. Calling the meeting to order, October 26, 2023, Beautification Committee. By stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Irene, can you please call? Roll call.
Yes, I will. Mary Vasilevsky and Kevin Saint are excused. Ronald Silver.
Here.
Bruce Jones.
Here.
Zachary Marciano.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
First item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes from October 24, 2022 meeting.
Excuse me, it's August 23. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you said October.
August 24, 2023 meeting. Sorry about that. Is there any corrections to the minutes?
I move motion to approve.
Okay, so he made a motion, somebody has to second it, and it can't be the chair.
Okay. You got a second.
I second the motion.
Thank you, guys. Keep the sense of humor. Okay. Then you can either say a roll call vote for the minutes, or you can say all in favor, and you all.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed?
Anybody opposed?
Hearing none, minutes are approved.
Minutes have been approved.
Then you announce the change in order.
There's a change in order from item 2 and 4. Is that correct?
That is correct.
That's correct. They're reversed.
So can you read the title of number 4?
Number 4 is a follow-up on the request from the city's sustainability and residential officer for a naming of the residential task force.
And David Rogers is from the side, and that's pointing.
Regarding the mission statement and things like that. I wasn't sure if you had any time or maybe you had any guidance
participate in a formal group because it is not a committee.
I was under the impression that the name that was, could you remind us what the name was again? Or the tentative name?
It was just Environmental Residential Advisory Task Force, which is a very long name.
Yeah.
And we wanted to make it a little more shorter, a little more personable, a little more representative of the city of Palm Coast and our culture here, where that's kind of just very formal. And we really wanted more informal because we're trying to get more people to come and participate.
So, could you just give me a quick summary of what it does, and maybe that would help come up with an alternative name? Maybe we can catch something in that, so.
Yes, so basically what it's designed to do is it would be designed for residents to come learn about the city of Palm Coast sustainability initiatives, so they could go to different sites and see how we work and how we operate, and then they would also help me throw events, community events, that would be pertinent to our community when it comes to environmental initiatives, and really help designate and design an environmental program that's designed by community residents for community residents.
So is it also about economic sustainability as well as environmental and other social, is it a broader mission, or is it just focused on a few things?
No, you could say that sustainability is the economic part is all integrated into itself. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you're looking for help with identifying a name, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, just spitballing here, would you be looking for something that is a little bit more creative and kind of fun for people? So, say like sustain force or something along, like task force of nature, like that?
Yeah, something like that, something a little more fun, informal, absolutely, okay. Yes.
I mean, that was the only thing that I thought of, and just so it incorporates, like, what the group is, like, it's almost task force, and then, obviously, the sustainability behind it, so, that encapsulated enough.
You made a statement about visiting sites. What type of sites?
So, for instance, if we wanted to do, and this is again, nothing formalized yet, depending on locations and things like that, but if we wanted to, visit one of our LEED buildings, so the building we're in is LEED, right? Our Southern Rec facility will be LEED Gold. And doing tours of those buildings and explaining how these principles and how we accomplished our LEED certification. Or anything from visiting our wastewater site and learning about wastewater and the different things that goes down the toilet versus why it doesn't go down the toilet. Things like that actually are a huge help on the city side of the house to really educate and provide people the idea of what sustainability and resiliency is. So it can kind of run a large gamut, but I want them to moreover take over that program for community residents designed by community residents. So while I'm educating them on all these different principles that the city of Palm Coast is doing, they're working alongside that and helping me create this community outreach based on those initiatives.
So that would cover sustainability, would cover environmental, would we cover recycling?
It possibly could. Yeah, I don't know, it could be a focus.
So one of the broad trends that I've seen for this sort of thing is around quality of life, and I don't know how you wrap that in there, but just the ones that I've seen to deal with social, economic, and environmental issues, they often capture quality of life. I don't know how you would put sustainability in with it. But.
And it doesn't have to have sustainability in the name, but it could have green, but I do feel like green is still used. And then also, I'm not sure, I know, I released an email. If we're not able to maybe come up with a name today, would it be possible for the board to kind of think about this and then email other great suggestions?
Yes. It was, the original email was part of the packet, and it, with the explanation of you provided, so, yeah, I can summarize the draft notes from today with what Ms. Rogers has provided, and then give you a little more to think about. But we do not have a November meeting, so this would have to be gotten back to me mid-November, so it becomes part of the December agenda. That also, just to clarify, gives the two missing members a chance to chime in.
Do they happen to share any of their own?
No. Unfortunately, I did not receive anything from any of them.
For the name, are you looking to, like, what would you like to highlight as the entire, like, your entire mission? Like, if you had a mission statement, what would be, I think you were referring to, like, a sustainability, creating a better sustainable city for people. I don't want to put words, but that's what I thought I heard. I'm asking if there's a mission statement that you do have, just so, like, I think from what, you know, Bruce was saying, I'm just trying to figure out a good name that would really tie that all together for us. So.
Absolutely. And we do have a mission statement, a part of the packet with objectives.
Okay.
So you do have that listed. I can go ahead and read off that to you.
Sure.
So depending on the name, right? That is the City of Long Beach program to design to engage residents on various environmental issues while complementing sustainability and resiliency projects. Residents of the City of Palm Coast become one of Southeast's most environmentally friendly cities. We have four main objectives: provide education on various sustainability initiatives for residents and how to integrate these practices into their everyday lives, such as local foods, energy, ecosystem restoration, waste, water, and more. The objective two is to provide discussion and education around various resiliency initiatives related to extreme weather, including flooding, extreme heat, sea level rise, wildfires, etc. Objective three, create an environmental community that expands on residents' knowledge and connects neighbors to neighbors. And objective four, provide monthly to bi-monthly events on various interested topic areas considered to be outgoing and open to the public, such as, and not limited to, clothing swaps, environmental trivia, composting workshops, planting, and more to be determined.
Definitely helpful.
Okay, great.
I think there's a lot of pretty broad, so I think I just hear environment as, like, you can almost use that as, like, a partial term, I feel. And then obviously sustainability and resiliency of, like,
so you would like to have this brought back in December?
Yes.
Ms. Rogers, would you be able to come to the December 7th meeting? So we could bring this back. Obviously, in my opinion, you would have to be here. So the next meeting after that, Mr. Chairman, is Thursday, January 25th. Is that agreeable to you to bring it back then?
I think so. Sure.
You're all comfortable? Okay.
So we'll still be able to submit, like, a variety of names.
It would be helpful to have it compiled beforehand, and to have time for Ms. Rogers to look at it. If you need an explanation in the name, that's fine. But I'll remind you, I will send you.
During the December meeting, I know it's not a project, won't be here, but will we be able to review a few names?
If I receive them from you, sure.
Okay, so like, we can pick, like, out of, limit to three, I guess, right?
No.
If anyone receives anything, then we should put on the agenda. But
yeah.
We'll bring it up at this that meeting in December.
Okay.
And I think that would be good. If she receives anything, hopefully she does, and we bring it and we discuss it, and then come up with what we think would be top names and then present it in January.
Okay. I will do that.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Is there any other questions you may have?
I have a lot of thoughts, but no questions yet.
Okay, great, thank you. Okay,
thank you, David, for that presentation. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to coming.
So, Mr. Chairman, we would go back to item number two.
Number two.
And you would read that name.
Presentation, comprehensive plan update.
Oh, no. Number two?
Number two is the Flagler County Expansion.
Environmental.
Well, there's one right here, I
don't know. It's not going.
We switched two and four. Mm-hmm. So that's my fault.
Okay.
You want to read number three?
Okay.
He's going to read it into the record, and then
you can see. No, you're good. Yeah. Presentation by UFIFAS Extension Flagler County President Representative Judy Jean. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. My name is Judy Jean. I work for Flagler County. Are any of you guys familiar with Flagler County Extension Office?
Flagler County
Extension Office.
No?
No.
That's unfortunate. So that's why I'm here. I want to introduce myself and explain what I do and how we can collaborate together to make everyone's jobs easier. Because in my jurisdiction, I have Palm Coast, Bonnell, Marineland, Flagler Beach, and Beverly Beach.
And you're located, I think, by in Bonnell, right on.
Yes, sir. I'm located on the fairgrounds. So that's where I'm located. So in my presentation, I wanted to quickly talk about what we do and how I can better help. I don't know if you guys are familiar with extension, cooperative extension. So cooperative extension is a partnership between the federal and state and county governments. So each county has an extension office. Across this country. And what we do, we share research-based information to the public. We're that bridge. Within our office, we have different divisions or different topic sectors: agriculture, natural resources, food safety, money management, lawn care, gardening, horticulture, which is what I do, 4-H youth development, sustainable living, family issues. What we do, we educate people. That's our primary goal in the services that we provide our friend. And everyone pays for our salary through the tax office. That's what we do. And here, the partnership is through Flagler County and the University of Florida, which is the Langhorne University. And here is Nashville, where all the extension offices are in the state of Florida. Each county has one. All the research centers and all the education centers as well too. There are 4-H camps around as well too. So, wait, do you guys have any questions so far about that? So a little bit about myself. My name is Judy Jean. I did my bachelor's in biomedical science with an emphasis in business, and then I switched gears and did my master's in horticulture, with a minor in agricultural leadership. During my time, during my graduate career, I did a lot of soil, fruits, and turf grass. All around, I can do anything in horticulture. However, fruits is what I love to do, but I can do anything else. And these pictures just, that's my cat, I love my cat. He's not here with me, but he's back in Missouri with my mom, but I have a plethora of knowledge in horticulture. When I got hired, they let me know, hey, you need to have some program objectives. So, earlier this year, I did a needs assessment for Flagler County. I don't know if you guys saw that or if you guys would like me to report on what I found through that needs assessment. But in that needs assessment, what I found is that water conservation is a huge issue for them in general. Water conservation, water quality. The education that I provide is geared towards that. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Florida friendly landscaping. There are a couple statutes in Florida that do mention that, and we're going to go over that as well too. Also bring industry professionals, whether it's providing education in terms of SSI classes, continuing education unions, whatever they need to make sure they're doing their best work. Also, Flagler County Master Gardener volunteers. They are an amazing resource. I train them. They go back out into the community, doing outreach, educational events, things of that nature. And then also youth development and plant science or sustainable renewable principles. That is what my objectives are for Flagler County.
Were those in priority order? Were those in priority order?
No.
Okay, sorry.
Well, okay, so how my job is split up, 50% is for urban horticulture education, 45% is for Flagler County Master Gardeners, and 5% is for youth development, if that makes sense.
Sure.
So what do we do? We educate the residents of Flagler County on research-based information. So we have plant clinics. Predominantly, the only work that we do is in Palm Coast and Flagler Beach. Our plant clinic, we have it in the Palm Coast Library every fourth Saturday. We do outreach events, so we have a booth where we do outreach events. A couple of months ago, there was a Green Expo that we did. I don't know if you guys heard about it, but we had a lot of great partners. Garen, here from Palm Coast Utilities was a partner. St. John the Bottom River Management District was a partner. FEP was a partner. BFIFIS professionals were partners. There was another partner. But essentially, that's something that I wanted to take place each and every year, and also we're monitoring the water consumption across all cities to make sure we're at the appropriate thresholds of how much water we're supposed to be using. So that's what we're doing as well. What we do, so we offer green industry best management classes. So Florida law states that all commercial fertilizer applicators must have limited certification from the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Sciences. We do a lot of Florida-friendly landscaping, which is the pillar of everything that we do. We work with departments at BEP to make sure that Florida-friendly landscaping is the most sustainable thing we can do. Scientific-based, research-based, that's where we need to be at. And I'm here to tell everyone that, so. Any landscaping companies, we really recommend them become Florida-friendly landscape certified. Here in Flagler County and Palm Coast, there's a lot of landscaping businesses around, so it's our goal to make sure if they're going out there, they have the most up-to-date information and they're not spreading any diseases around, any turf grass diseases that are could be coming from the south or the north of us. They're using the proper protocols and not applying too much fertilizer to mess up the water quality that we have. do, that's provided to the county. Sometimes I do partnerships with other companies. This one's with Tater Farms. There is a Tater Farm location here in Blackwood County in Bunnell. They do roast sod, and they're hoping to, you know, break your other locations in Fire County. But I offer pesticide training. There's pesticide testing at our office the second and fourth Wednesday of each month. I offer pesticide classes for CUs or for learning. Any of those or any other thing that you need, we can provide that for you. What else do we do? We offer free soil testing. We do that at our office. We ask residents to come in for soil testing. We'll look at your plants for free and diagnose them. If in our famous slogan extension is, if you don't have the answer, we know someone who has the answer. So what we can do, I will go to the plant pathologist, and they will run all the experiments they need to verify what is going on. Even here, there are some issues going on with trees. I called in an arborist specialist from Gainesville, and they're coming down in a couple of weeks to certain locations here in Fiber County. So that's, and that's a free service. That's what we do. We also do site visits. So throughout the county, about how close if someone wants me to come down, I will go out there and assess everything that they need. It's a free service, and I can see what's really going on in terms of the environment and landscape of Palm Coast. Even driving, I live here in Palm Coast too, so I see things as well too, so that's what we do as well. We do community outreach. We consult and advise, so community gardens, anything horticulture related, that's what I do.
So those services that we're just speaking on are available to residential and public.
Yeah.
So say that somebody's lawn is dying for unknown reasons, you would have somebody send out.
Yeah.
You would go out and call you and you'd come to my house and look at my lawn?
Yeah, we'll spend a little time in there, you know. So we'll ask today, take a couple pictures. So at a plant clinic that we have at the fairgrounds extension office, people come in all the time. It's just as long as you're a resident of Flagler County. If you're a resident somewhere else, like Volusia County or St. John's, we'll just ask you to their extension office. But if you're already there, I usually just help you anyways. But you come in, you tell us your problem, we help you. That's it. We'll give you educational information and you're on the way.
He went there.
Yeah.
He was telling me about it. Now it rings the bell.
Yeah.
So he went there and there was an arborist there and he was raving about it.
Yeah, that's what we do. We want people in Palm Coast to know that we're here for them. We're unbiased, so we can't go either way. We're very neutral, and it's whatever the research shows us.
Question. You do a lot of these programs. You want to go to the library and do these things. How do you get that out there to people?
That's a good question. So we have an email service list, we have our social media platforms, our master gardeners who are volunteers, they go out too, and they live here in Fiber County too. And that's one of the reasons why it's important that we know about each other to help each other, because we do have collaborations together, especially here in Hopkins with utilities. We had that event with the Green Expo a couple months ago. And that was for sustainability within the environment. And that, at that event, anyone who came could ask any of those agencies any question to the farm panel.
So you put that out, you're on social media?
Mm-hmm.
So, me, I'm not on social media, but I don't do any social media. How would I find out?
So that's good. If you're not on social media, what I do, I personally drive my car and put flyers everywhere. I send emails out, word of mouth. However, sometimes we aren't able to get everyone. And that's something that I'm working towards, building those relationships with people within the community as well, too.
Yeah,
I'm
just coming down here about a year ago. Everything essentially just needed to put different grass on. It was a disaster. didn't know. I think I ended up talking to somebody at Home Depot. So word of mouth was always helpful as well. Mm-hmm. And called UF, but I think the extension is where I ended up connecting, and they put me in the right direction. But also, I guess just having more knowledge and asking your neighbors is also helpful as well. So,
most definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would like, if it's possible, next year we're doing a Green Expo again in the city of Palm Coast. We want to collaborate in a larger capacity. Last year we did the fairgrounds just because it's a bigger area, and we have access to those facilities. It would be at the extension office. If you guys are ever nearby, I do ask that you guys come out. We have demonstration gardens there that the master gardeners have been working on. So, if you see an art artist, you can move it into your house. So definitely, that would be awesome.
Was this actually, sorry, again, this Green Expo, was there a charge to the public?
It was free.
Okay.
It was 100%, and I ate up the cost.
Wow.
Yeah. So and during that expo, we looked for vendors. We really wanted to highlight the businesses in Flagler County that were willing to come in. And be there, people can shop and see what's going on. So,
and at the extension, like in the area where you're saying, like you have the gardens and stuff, is there anything along the lines of sharing, like how to grow, like food gardens, like tea gardens, and things like that?
Yeah. So actually, we do classes like that too. So this Saturday, we're actually having classes on how to grow berries. So like blackberries, goji berries, mulberries. Get home with them. So I grow them in house. We have a greenhouse. I grow them. We're a certified nursery. They go through the class, they learn how to do it, and they go home and they try it in our gardens.
You're having them this Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
On the 150 Sawgrass Road in Manal, Florida.
Okay.
10 to noon.
That's a good. What time?
10 to noon.
And again, where is this? Is this the one that's the station that's up as you go north on 1 or what, where's
the
yeah,
the
fairgrounds.
It's over close to where the festival is. The trash is the dump over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's across train tracks, right?
Yep.
How often do those happen?
Classes, we do them all the time. We do at least 2 every month. So tomorrow I'm doing a class on vegetable gardening in the fall. I think next month is November. It is November. I think we're doing like pruning. No, that's December. We're doing something else in November too. The 4th Saturday each month we have a plant clinic, a mobile plant clinic that we're with the library. Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, anyone can come to the extension office if you need help. Soil testing occurs all the time. You can email anytime or on our Facebooks. We are available all the time. And my master gardeners assist me and provide this information. So they go through the training and everything. So they're like a mini me in the community, so to speak. We do insect identification, so we have the equipment, we have the tool that we need to identify. And again, if I don't know the answer, what we do, I send it out to entomologists out in Gainesville, and they usually come back with an answer in 2 hours or less. There was a pest control company that had issues with termites that came to my office, and like, I need you right now. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to lunch, I'm waiting for you. So he comes in, what kind of termite is this? And we're able to successfully diagnose that termite. If it needs to happen, we'll send that termite up to Gainesville to verify the assessment or any plant diseases. So if there's any termite disease coming from the south, which there is, the plant pathologist notifies us and lets them like, hey, like, if you see this going on, let me know. Any disease with palms that are going on that are detrimental, that are no cure, we're the first one on the floor seeing if we have it there, then we have to go through protective measures about how we go about controlling the disease that happens.
Just real quick, we were battling up north. Hopefully, this laws do. Anybody say anything about those down here, or SIGBUS?
Well, SIGBUS can be an issue. There have been issues yet in Montgomery County. I haven't heard anything yet, but I'm not missing it far.
Yeah, well, not
much. Yeah, not much. So we should be good. Other events, we partner with Carol Mini for Arbor Day, my master gardeners support out there. We're in Washington Oaks here. My master gardeners go through an over 50-hour training, and they get trained by professionals. They went there, and they learn how to be involved. So they are, if I'm not there, they're the next best thing. So they're amazing. But this is my contact information. I'm here to serve you guys, and if anything I can help out, please let me know. I'm excited to work with the City of Palm Coast. Any opportunities for collaborations are more than welcome.
So, do you guys do anything with natural landscape elements and pest control? Do you do any?
Yes.
There's a lot of, in Europe, they have a lot of projects where they're introducing natural landscape elements and bringing in natural predators to prep pests. And I'm wondering if you have any research going on in that area.
Yeah, 100%. So, with Florida Learning Landscaping, it goes through that. So, one of the 9 principles that it does is water efficiently, mulch, manage yard pests responsibly. And so what that means is that we want to attract as many beneficial insects as possible to minimize us using any harmful chemicals. And if we do have these chemicals, we have to use the least toxic. So, you know, neem oil, horticultural oil, things like that. Cutting out plants that are beneficial to the environment is super important. It's something that we preach, the right plant in the right place. A lot of times, I see people not putting the right plant in the right place, which is the primary reason why they have the bug issues. Also, overusing the fertilizers, which can be a big issue in terms of water quality.
Yeah, eutrophication.
Mm-hmm.
How about with regards to butterflies and breeding birds and migratory birds? Do you guys do any, try to bring any of that into your horticultural landscape design?
100%. So we want to be able to attract all those beautiful, attract wildlife is actually one of the 9 principles of waterfront landscaping. And whenever I talk about that, I'm not saying let's do it in front of your yard, but like, you know, the beautiful butterflies, just like the birds, things like that are naturally within the ecosystem.
Yeah, just you know, there are several plants that are very highly desirable by pollinators and so forth, and you know, which has a natural benefit, but it's also great
100%.
For observation and photography and everything else.
100%. Something that we try to do is the master gardeners have annual plant sales. So if there's some plants, like any of the plants that take like you would an hour and a half to go find, we have all the plants that you could possibly. All the native plants, everything that we sell is beneficial to Flagler County. Nothing's invasive. You know, if you ask them, hey, this is where my location's at, I'm next to the intercoastal, I will shade, we'll point you in the right direction. The citrus trees that we sell are tolerant to citrus greening, so you're less likely to get that. Things like that. So we really put our work into it. And everything is research based, so.
Did you say you had plants for sale? Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah, so we do plant sales. We had our big one on Father's Day actually, which was super awesome because we wanted to celebrate our fathers. And it was a huge success, so we sold tons of plants. And all the proceeds just went back to community outreach so we can do events like Green Expo, other gardening classes. Everything that we do is sustainable.
That's amazing.
We also have a compost demonstration garden. We have a butterfly garden. We have a native garden. We have a rose garden. We have a herb garden. We have a raised bed garden, a shade garden. Memorial Garden, and we are now beginning to build a berry patch for kids and begin to start on our blueberry variety tribes. So that's something that we're working on currently.
This might be a little too, I guess, much in the future to mention, but is there outreach for, like, the town garden type?
So, can you elaborate?
So, I'm just thinking, like, is there, like, a destination type thing that would end up becoming the town garden for the public?
Yeah, so, that's a good question. So, currently what we're doing now, the demonstration gardens at the decision site, we're wanting it to be a destination place. So, our master gardeners keep up and do all the work, and the majority of our master gardeners are retirees, so we can't move as fast, but we can still move, we have a spirit. And so what we've been doing, working the gardens, looking for grants to make things ADA compliant, so that people are in a wheelchair that can still roam through the gardens, and just finding materials and finding grants to supplement everything. Any other questions
for me? I have a question. Do you consult with the use of palm trees and their, which are in the cells they belong in? They work between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. here with the changing of the coast. And I know a lot of people buy palm trees and home people blow them. And they look great to each other. So 20 degrees, then they turn around. And
yeah, so we do that too. We consult people on, you know, their palm trees, what they should be doing to give materials out to people that tell them, hey, these are the type of plants that you should be buying. This is the legally when you should be watering your lawn. This is how tall you should be mowing your lawn. These are the type of grasses you should be looking at. And when I did my partnership with Tater Farms, I would pick each cultivar of each species of grass and have the participants look through focus to the grass. And, yeah. But that was just something that showed up in our needs assessment of Flagler County. That's a key. So, yeah. Anything else?
This is Mr. Tyner and Mr. Wynn, but Mr. Tyner cannot be here, so Mr. Wynn is going to take it. And he just let me know there is a conflict. He will need to leave approximately 6:05. So he will go through his presentation, then if you have questions, we can get them to him. All right.
Thank you. Good evening, Mr. Chair and members. I'm here to present to you what the city is initiating our comprehensive plan update. The last update that we have conducted was back in 2004, so it's almost about 20 years now that we are engaging into outreach to the community and ask the community to provide us inputs into what we would like to see, what is our vision for the city of Montrose in 2050. Right now we have a comprehensive plan that has been adopted for 2035, and that's what we currently have. So we are engaging into this in order to see what is what the community wants, and there's several reasons why we do that. So the agenda for my PowerPoint presentation, if you look at the overview of what we are doing and why, and everyone's role in this process, and we are looking for community members to participate in the process, what will happen through this process, and what are our thoughts as we begin. So we ran this effort, we call it Imagine 2050, City on the Rise. So this is the overview. What is a comprehensive plan? Many people, most of our residents do not have a good idea of what that is. So it's basically a guide for managing what we want to change as we grow, we can say that. So it's a process to seek to engage members of the community in a conversation about the future. Basically, we're looking to develop or maintain the characters that we have today, or even to enhance or improve what we have today for our kids, children, and grandchildren. The outcome of the effort is basically to find common ground of shared value, visions, and priorities. So that's what we're looking at. So you look at about 10 to 20 years of prioritized to-do list. That's mainly what that is. So it is a vision-based comprehensive plan update. So we're going to look at to discuss the Parkville's future. They develop a new vision. It involves everyone's idea to enhance the entire community. So what is the concept? Why is the comprehensive plan comprehensive? Because it involves many aspects of the community as listed here. You have community character, design, land use, development patterns, housing and neighborhoods. For example, housing, we have multiple types of housing in order to accommodate the needs of the residents. Transportation, as you can see, if we don't plan for that, we're going to have many congested roads. So that's part of the plan. Economic development, public facility, history, culture, and natural resources and environment. And we look at how we govern as we move forward. So how is the comprehensive plan used? So as you can see on the picture here, that main aspect of it that we serve is basically provide a roadmap for a collective long-term destination for the community. And it's basically also provides a planning basis for rezoning, subdivision, regulations, design standards, historic preservation guidelines, and capital improvement plans. So why are we updating our existing comprehensive plan when it is already basically up to date? It's because part of our council's strategic action plan that dictates that we do this. But also that if you look at it over the last 20 years, many things have changed. And we often assess what we have accomplished and what we have not accomplished, and that's the reason why we are looking into that. So, and there are changes in the community, there are certain trends that basically that we only see recently. For example, the last 3 to 4 years, that is a development that provides all kind of housing units in one a subdivision owned by one entity and is all rental. We never seen that before. That trend has never seen it before. But it's been basically very popular within the last 3 or 4 years. So we don't even have regulations in order to handle that. So things like that, that's one of the reasons why we look at and reevaluate to see what is best for us to serve the community. And we're looking at the roles of the community. As you can see here, we have two tracks for this entire process. This entire process is going to take us about 12 to 14 months. And the first track is basically is an outreach effort from here until probably March or April timeline next year. And then that's the outreach effort that we have hired a consultant called JV Pro. And with that, they basically will help us in order to guide us, to help us to go to out to the community in order to get feedback from the community. And then the next track after that is the technical track that in the composite plan, we have about 10 chapters right now. So the next one, we probably have to add one more because it's dictated by statute. So as you can see here, these for future land use, transportation, housing, until that we have about 10 chapters of the comprehensive plan.
All those chapters in order.
I'm sorry?
Were all those chapters in order from left to right of how they would be tackled, or is it just all at the same time? Okay.
Council would have to adopt it all at the same time. So we'll, this track number two, which is the second part of it, that we hopefully will go to planning board as an advisory board, and then by October of next year, we are hopeful that the council would basically adopt that. So in the comprehensive plan, is those 10 chapters as policies, goals, and objectives. So that's part of what we will work with, staff will work with the consultants we want to do. So the roles of responsible of the city council is that basically they're going to be our project champions, ambassadors. They go out into the community and listen to what the community has to say. And they provide project direction, policy assessment, visual confirmation, and planning information. So that's what their roles are. And then so is the Planning Land Development Recreation Board. They are technical assistant because they are the local planning agency. They will basically review the draft policy that staff will provide to them and look at the data assessment and then recommend revisions to City Council. And here's a city staff team, responsible is basically to manage this entire process for the next 12 to 14 months or so. We coordinate activities, outreach, and we'll also coordinate monitor the consulting efforts as well. And this is the JV Pro consulting teams. So one of their primary objective is to help assist us in outreach. And they will also assist in developing vision statement, policy direction plan document, and then the implementation strategy. So that's their task. But we also go to look at key stakeholders, civic group, in order to reach as many people as we can. We have, I think the population number is about 102,000 people that we want to reach out, but we definitely don't have any expectation that 100% is going to respond. So if we get about 20%, I think we'll realistically, is really promising. So that's what we're looking at. So they would basically help us be project ambassadors to tell other people, and I think that's part of the reason why we present to you. We would ask you to help in this effort to talk about the comprehensive plan update. So that's what we're looking for. And community members are basically going to participate, and they share ideas to us, and that's what we're looking for. And then who participates and how? Everyone participates, and we will have a lot of different approach to reaching out to people. We would look at on both ends in terms of the technical side, technology side, and also on the basically the old ways of doing things. Basically, we'll reach out to the groups, the civic groups, the different type of group that we're going to reach out, and at different events we'll be there in order to reach out to the people. And we also have we have reached the media coverage, the media and publication, and we do also instant polling in order to reach the residents. And we also have established a website. That's the QR code, the card that I provided to you, that if you scan that, every information is there and updated regularly so that you can see the residents' response. And then we will go to roadshows, workshops, and open houses. We started this process in October 10, so about 2 weeks ago that we did that. And you know, social media, we have all that interactive meetings as well as surveys that will reach out to the people who are technological advanced that can use that. And the community group activities that you know, we'll reach out to students, the second day of October 11, we reached out to the school district. We presented to the student body there as well. So what we're looking for is that many ideas that we're going to basically collectively gather into and formulate a vision for the community. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to report every idea, community prioritizations, common themes, and we're going to look at our shared vision statement at the end of the day.
So has there been a definition of what the draw to Palm Coast is for people to be here? Has that been outlined yet?
Not yet. Okay. The, right now, we basically start from scratch. We have a comprehensive plan currently. We have certain pillars in our comprehensive plan.
Sure.
But basically, right now, we're going out to the community and ask the community questions, ask them for big ideas. That's part of the paper that I provided to you. If you have any big ideas, grand ideas for the future of Palm Coast, please put it down.
Sure.
You know, so there, once we collect that, we'll analyze it and process that to look at a shared vision together.
Sure.
And that's what we're going to do. And here's our timeline, basically. You can see that we started in October, and hopefully we'll end by October of next year. And this is our schedule. And with that, I conclude my presentation. And if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
I know that there was some meetings that were held here for the public to attend. I was had it in my calendar, I just ended up having to not be able to make it. I'm assuming, if you can confirm, will there be more of those that we would have people included in? I think there was one uptown at the rec center. I think there was one here as well. Will there be more of those?
Yes, there will be more of that. If you scan that QR code,
yeah.
You will see our website, and on the right hand of that website, you'll see all the schedule, all the events, all the activities there, and then the one that would have a check mark, I mean, we basically completed that. So yes, in October 10, we had a joint workshop with the City Council and the Planning Board here in this one. And then basically the next day, we had a community center for the residents to come. Yeah.
Right. Just looking at it, the, like, what's the draw, I think, is what kind of, I was speaking on earlier. So, like, New York City is obviously, there's a lot of culture, right? Miami's nightlife, but the Bay Area in California is Silicon Valley, right? So, I think just from what I've heard, I don't know what's happening, I think there's a lot of healthcare possibilities here, maybe becoming a nursing epicenter for training. I think also to the second addition to that is how do you attract, look, because I believe that the youth is the future, right? So, like, the schools, the education, but I think there's a lot happening. I see cubicle mobile type extensions of the schools now happening because I guess they're bursting out the seams with more people coming to the community. My point of that is if there's more catered to the younger demographic, they're going to want to come. And even if they're here already, they need to decide if they want to stay. For example, I came on looking to be involved, meet friends, meet new people. I ended up having to start a softball league. So just going out on Facebook, getting people, finally getting a little, you know, getting it going. So my point of bringing that up, there's no recreational places to play here for adult softball for this case. So there's no leagues that can be played within Palm Coast. You have to go to Vanilla, and that's how I saw that sign for UF. And, you know, having those things here, I feel, is very important in securing all of the population that we should have to, I love the slogan, by the way, City on the Rise, to support that in achieving those goals. So having, obviously, the reason for people to come, keeping them here to have them enjoy the location. I think Tampa has been doing that very, very well. And then all the additional interests. So, like, I know Town Center is slated to, like, really have something fantastic, I feel. Boutique shops, you know, very, not just startup businesses, more of a family-owned businesses, like people who are part of the community, people who go shopping. Well, having it be walkable is like where I see the capabilities of what everything's kind of framework for. So that's just my two cents. Obviously, I thought a lot about it.
No, I think you hit a lot of the points there. In my own opinion, in order to, you know, collectively attract jobs, attract younger people to come here, there are a server component. There's an educational component, and then there's a population component, as well as the recreational component that we have been working on it in order to do. For example, in the past, we had talked with developers to have skating lanes, but it didn't. It wasn't there yet because our population was still young or small.
Sure, sure.
And then we are working on a YMCA currently, so we look into that. We did have discussion with the soccer leagues in order to provide training fields. So those are the things that are working to do that. In terms of, and we are fortunate that I think based on if you have university coming here, that's a huge basically incentive to do that. That JU's here and also UNF, even though they are focusing on nursing program right now, but definitely where they typically or historically I've seen that where they plant the campus or satellite campus, it's going to grow.
Sure. I've never seen anyone, any university that plan a satellite campus and then they have to withdraw it and move back somewhere. That I haven't seen that happen. So that's part of the educational component. I believe years ago when the Governor Bush provided wanted to attract jobs in like Martin County, but then the educational level wasn't there, so the companies didn't come. So he shifted, basically trying to help the population in Martin County to be educated to a certain level, because 80% of the employees will come from locally. And if they don't have that education in order to do the work that they need, then that's what happens. So yes, definitely. I think we are trying to hit all those areas in order to attract.
Right. And I guess to the other point, like the expansion out on the west, I forgot what you said, the west rim or west part of the city, essentially, having a rented park would be helpful for to kind of bridge that, I think, with just like...
Yeah, as part of the process, you will see that as well, that we also ask for the ideas, you know. We have a blank slate out there. Well, what do you, what's your vision for west of Pompas?
That's a very good idea. You need more than 5 or 6 people here.
Yeah.
That's what this is all about.
Sure, yeah.
So can I ask you a question with regards to sort of the whole approach and the process? When you get to the, you get the stakeholder input, you have workshops. When you actually get to figuring out the analysis and the data analysis and map part, have you thought, or do you have a specific approach that you're going to use? Because you have multiple stakeholders, you know, everything from recreation to environment to developers, you know, with all, you know, kinds of different interests. And what you want them to do is coalesce and come together in something that nobody gets too pissed off about, but you know that certain needs are met. And the reason I ask that question is because there is an approach called alternative futures analysis that's been used. What you see a lot of this being used in North Carolina, South Carolina, the Western United States. A lot of agencies use it, especially agencies that have multiple use with lands that they have to manage. You might be mining and farming and whatever else. And lands that might be put up for privatization, trading lands to, you know, for recreation, for wildlife conservation. And so there's actually an approach, it's a GIS-based approach where you actually build the model from the stakeholders, and then what you do is you present several alternatives that are based on, let's say, if you add in baseball fields, what does that do? How does it cascade across the landscape for other people who have other values? And so that really presents a great stage and can be visualized to how the landscape might change under various scenarios. And so it's called alternative futures analysis. And I know it's been done on army bases and in certain counties where you've had specific conflicts like over water when one upstream community was polluting a stream down water quality downstream, and how do you work that out? So the reason I ask is because you're going to be dealing with a lot of stakeholders that have very different values, and it's always good to have something that will allow them to look at the bigger picture. So I don't know whether you guys have thought that yet, or maybe it's not far enough into the process. But.
Yeah, let me give you an example of what we can and cannot do. Existing Pompas basically was already in place by ITT. 47,000 flat lots, they designated where commercial can be. And basically we have very little, a few vacant lots, properties left in order to do any kind of alternative planning or options there. So, but that also relate to the property owners. If the property owners are not on board on different options for us, then we basically don't have anything to go by. So Right.
Yeah.
And they are willing to work with us in order to have a clean slate, and they are willing to work with us in order to basically develop certain principles that we have to go by. We don't know what the outcome would be, because that's also dictated by the market. But then we have established certain parameters, principles, and that's part of what the comprehensive plan is all about. And that will be reflected in what we call goals, objectives, and policies. And the rest is basically let the developers, builders to come in, and then they have that flexibility in order to develop the community.
And so again, what you can do with alternative futures is that you work with them with different sorts of pieces, and there might be parks, or play area parks within the community, or whatever it is, buffer zones, and so forth, just to get an idea if you did this, it would have this benefit to these other values that the rest of your audience might care about coming to this meeting. And then it's very powerful when a user like that, and my experience is with mining, mostly in Western U.S., and it's very interesting to see how much they will actually work once they actually can see it and hear the people talk and you actually visualize it, how much they'll move the reader. So it's just a process thing that that's useful. If you have a really good way to convey that visually, the different alternatives and the things that you want to do, it really can be very powerful.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the presentation. You covered a lot of ground in a short period of time. You did a good job.
Thank you.
Okay, so what you need to do, Mr. Silvers, is call, open the meeting to public comment. And then in there it says if you see no one, you just close public comment.
Okay. I'm going to open the meeting for public comment. I'm going to close the public comment.
And then you'll ask the members if there's anything they would like to discuss that's not on the agenda.
Right. No, just the last meeting we had in August, was it, I guess?
Yes.
There were two presentations that were really good, and one of them was on the forest accounting program system. There was a nice PowerPoint. Is that available? I got the one PowerPoint, but not that one, unless you've shifted it to a different email. So is it possible to get that?
Was that the intern and Carol's
yes.
presentation?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I will email that.
Okay.
Is there anyone else?
I have a question.
Okay.
The manatee
statue.
Statue.
Mm-hmm.
What was the outcome?
After assessing many possible locations for it and voting on it, this committee voted to put it somewhere else. Parks Committee approved it, and there it was. In the end, Mr. Katz, the owner of the statue, he had a change of heart, and he decided to withdraw his opportunity, his donation, and take the statue back. And he does that at the Princess Palace, the Princess Reserve.
Right.
And he lives in one of the few homes out there on the waterfront, sort of like an estate. And he's got it situated back there. For his own personal enjoyment. And Mr. Ballard, Paul Ballard, the artist who created it, we had our public works people. We had it at public works and storage for months, and then I supervised, or I oversaw that they brought it back and they lifted it off and they placed it in his Ballard Museum out on A1A. It's just a little bit north of Biggs Landing. So he got it back, and he's going to polish it up and fix it up. And at some point reinstall it over there and just cap this privacy.
I was curious because I had seen a stick where it was supposed to go. It looked like it was pointed out where it was going, and I saw a marker there.
That may just have been survey markers, but they had a survey of the area. So we knew
that. Okay.
But that was in a drainage swale, and we had to understand what we were going to do with the water going through there if we put the statue away. So that was just a collecting exercise. But that's it. You're not going to see it again unless you go to Mr. Katz's house.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
You'll have some of our party members.
Okay.
Was there any updates with BJ's? It looks like they've got tons of stuff happening over there. I know last we spoke, you were saying there was design and architectural movements going back and forth. Or?
Well, we're trying to encourage more art in the city.
Sure.
And I'm not sure what that means, whatever we say. And we don't want to really buy it. We look for people to donate it or create it. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to get together with a group called Arts We Are, I'm not sure, or something like that. A group of artists who do stuff like that. We're going to work in conjunction with the Parks team and that group to get something initiated. Kind of give them a task to go out and try to find some things that maybe we could use as art, or maybe that would get people to create it. And then when it comes to the process, your committee would get to take a look at it and have it put in Parks Committee also. Mm-hmm. And we're still trying to put that together. We don't have a machine that does that yet.
Sure. So that's going to be with the BJ's development? With like sculptures and stuff? Is that, am I hearing that correctly?
Oh, say that again?
I was asking about the development with the BJ's area. I think we last
BJ's part.
BJ's on Route 1?
Oh, BJ's.
No.
Yeah.
One. West.
Oh, no, BJ's is not really had anything to do with the art. But it's still going.
Yeah. I know last we spoke, you were mentioning that there was some tweaks that were happening with architecture or
just that we were pushing them to make the building as good-looking as it could be.
Right.
And we had looked around the state and the country where other BJ's buildings were, and we were picking the nicest ones and presenting it to this developer saying, here's the type of BJ's you'd like to have on the coast. And unfortunately, they're not really annexed into the city yet, so they don't have to. We did it at all,
right?
Cursory review, but they didn't really have to listen to us. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have any teeth in our comments.
Yeah.
And they kept presenting dull and kind of less expensive buildings. And I kept pushing back, saying, no, we wanted to look at this.
Right.
So we got somewhere where it looks a lot better than it was originally. Not as good as the nice ones that are around here, but something that I think will work for sure.
The orange and blue pipes that they're digging, are those for fiber optic?
I'm not sure.
Not sure.
I'm not actively involved in the site development, so.
Because they're all over the place. They're all over the road with the size
of the road. Oh, there was a company that redoing fiber optic.
They run those through, then they run the wire through the fiber.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what it is.
Wasn't sure.
Yeah, there's actually a company, I forget the name, over on the commercial or corporate way, up there near where Pine Lakes meets Poncos Parkway, just below that, across the water, Route 1. Mm-hmm. They're on that little stretch of industrial road there, and they're storing a lot of the incoming materials, the conduit and the glass.
Sure.
And they're operating out of there. So yeah, so that's like a citywide effort to replace the internet and the fiber optics.
Sure. Everyone's got to get technology, right?
Okay. Anything else?
Just to remind you again, there is no November meeting. The next meeting is December 7th.
Okay. Motions are December 7th.
It's the first Thursday of December.
Okay.
And I know it's creative, but we didn't want to have it at Christmas time.
That's a good thing. Yeah. Okay. So at this point...
At this point, you have to make the motion to adjourn. Chairman Riddle.
End the meeting.
Initiated. Ask for a motion to...
A motion to...
Motion to adjourn.
Second? Seconded.